Welcome, everybody, to the Skill Development Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Coach TJ. We are on Season 5, Episode number 1, and I've decided to go back to interviews, and I have reached out to some great, great coaches. I think this season is going to be really good. We're going to have some great interviews. We're going to be sharing some great information for everybody out there that's been listening. And so on this first episode, we have shooting coach Mike Dunn. He is actually out of New Jersey, and we were able to get together and have a discussion, and we talked about his philosophy on skill development, his philosophy on shooting. He gave us some tips and some information that parents can take and coaches and players, and just his thoughts on shooting and who are some of his favorite shooters and some of his favorite players. They can shoot the ball really well. So he shared some great information, gave us some really good insight. So I think you're going to enjoy this episode. I think you're going to get some valuable information. Now, towards the end of this episode, around the 30-minute mark or so, the audio is not great. You can still hear it, but it gets a little sketchy. But that does last towards the end of the episode. So that is it. This is the episode. I interview Mike Dunn. Make sure you're paying attention and take some good notes. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Skill Development Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Coach TJ, and I have a very special guest with us today. We have shooting coach, shooting guru, Mike Dunn. He's going to give us some great information on shooting and talk about maybe even go into a little bit about some of these myths that we often hear about when it comes to shooting. So, Coach, I appreciate you being here. Before we really dive into this thing, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you got into being a shooting coach and into skill development?
Yeah, for sure. So, I've really only been doing the actual coaching thing for about 3 years. So really focused shooting coaching wise, but I coached in the high school level a little bit, but ultimately I got my start. I played basketball at Philadelphia University. So it's a Division II school right in Philadelphia, and I played for Coach Herb McGee. So anybody who doesn't know who Coach McGee is, Coach McGee was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. He's known as the shot doctor. He's a professional shooting coach, worked with guys like Charles Barkley, you know, like some really big guys. And I was fortunate enough that I could always shoot. I never thought about the mechanics of shooting or getting that in depth with it, but I could always shoot. So in the summertime, Coach McGee would take me to his shooting clinics and I would often demonstrate while he taught. So I kind of got the blueprint in terms of the teaching aspect of it and you know, working with kids and other players and whatnot, not really knowing that would kind of set me up for the future in terms of being able to kind of do things my own way and kind of make a career out of it. But that kind of laid the blueprint for me. And I ultimately decided a few years ago that I was really going to start pursuing it and try to, in my words, and I'm on record saying, I want to be the best there is at it. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know that I'm not now, but that's something I strive towards every day. And so for the past 3 years, I've really dedicated myself to it. I've seen tons of growth personally with it. And then growth in players that I've worked with. So it's been a really, really cool journey up to this point.
I know when I used to play, I played Division II basketball also at a small school in South Arkansas. And now that I'm coaching and doing the skill development and paying attention to the details and things like that, I sometimes wish, I'm like, man, I wish I could go back
right.
to some of the stuff I know now and actually apply that to when I was playing. So. It just seems like now it's just the details of the game and some of the tricks and stuff that I didn't know then, you know, that I know now from just studying and learning the game.
Right. Absolutely.
So, let's get right into this. So, with this podcast been strictly on skill development, what is your definition of just skill development and how important is it to the game of basketball?
You know, first of all, to answer the latter part of the question, skill development is It's so important because you, I think you have done skill development. If you really think about it, you look at the guys in the, at the very top of the top. So if you look at the guys in the NBA, athleticism doesn't separate those guys that much anymore when you get to that level. Mm-hmm. And what does, the, what separates them is skill. It's skill development. It's the skills. It's the understanding of the game. And that's where people really start to separate themselves. You can have a guy with all the athletic ability in the world, but if he doesn't develop the skill set necessary to accompany that athleticism, mm-hmm. you're not gonna find yourself playing too long. And one of the big things that I tell kids, when I work my clinics and everything, I tell them, look, shooting the basketball is a skill. I don't care how tall you are, I don't care how fast you are, how high you can jump. Anybody can shoot the basketball. I can teach anybody to shoot the basketball. It's up to you to put in the time, but that's a skill. That's a translatable skill on any level. And if you can do that, you're going to start to separate yourself. So, and what is skill development to me? I think my definition of it is, it's the basic layering of progressions. I think you have to start with a really basic understanding of what it is you're ultimately trying to achieve, mm-hmm. isolating those simple habits, and then slowly progressing off of them. So with shooting, we start as basic as possible, but we continue to build off of those basic movements up to the point where we're working on very, very difficult things, but our basic level of understanding is still within each drill that we're doing.
Right. Yeah. When I think of skill development, I think of actual development, the teaching and the instruction part of the game. There's been a lot of controversy on what actual skill development is. Coaches have their own ways and of doing it. Some are real traditional, some are more, I guess you'd say, innovative or more new age. But right. At the end of the day, it's all about the fundamentals. I don't think anyone is really reinventing the wheel. We're just using a different vehicle to help a player get from point A to point B.
Absolutely.
Some agree with it with a particular way our coach is doing it, and some like it, I'm going to keep it old school. The analogy I use, talk about cars. Some people want a Ferrari to get from point A to point B. Some just say, man, just give me a Toyota Camry.
Right, absolutely. Get
from point A to point B, and we're still trying to reach the same destination.
100%, man.
So now let's be a little more specific when it comes to shooting. There are a lot of theories out there about shooting. Some people are just die hard. This is how you do it. This is the only way to do it. And then they will show film or statistics. But for you in particular, what is your philosophy when it comes to shooting? Is there anything in particular that you just feel like a player must do or must learn? Or is it a case-by-case basis?
I think one thing that has to happen for every single player to make shots, no matter what, is their hand has to come under the ball at some point in time. Mm-hmm. So my theory in five words is shoot it up and straight. Shoot it up and shoot it straight. That's it. If you can shoot the ball up and straight, you're going to make a lot of shots. So the only way the ball goes up is if your hand comes under the ball. You're going to shoot with the best trajectory possible. So that's really my, that's the big thing with me. Now, how we get to that point is largely dependent on the body type of the player to me. So you have the traditional one motion versus two motion. I really do think there is a difference, but I think if you look at somebody that's a little bit on the smaller side, they're going to be a little bit more prone to shoot a one motion shot successfully. Myself, I'm 6'6", and I have close to a 6'9" wingspan. I'm going to shoot more of a two motion shot. My levers are a little bit different than somebody that's 6'2" or 6'3", like a Steph Curry. So, but the commonality in both of us is that our hand is going to come underneath that basketball at one point. It's going to be under that ball. It's going to be centered under that ball, which is going to allow us to lift that ball straight up in the air.
Yeah, I know that I'm more of a I have this motion where I stop and then shoot it.
Right.
Now I'm 40. And I will watch like clips of you on Instagram or Dave Love or somebody else, and then I go out and try to do that. I try to look at it in a way and say, okay, if I'm going to teach something to a particular player, then I want to be able to demonstrate it or be able to show them video. If it's I know I'm not
playing anymore, but I still want to get out there and make shots, you know? Right. So I go to the gym this evening and we play, you know, if I don't shoot the ball well, I'm getting back in the gym and get up some shots. It's just the competitive nature of me. But I just know that I've seen different coaches and they just like, your feet have to be this way. Your hand has to be this way. And it's like no negotiable. But one thing that I've learned over the years from the players I've worked with, I have some players that need to turn and I have some players that need to be straight.
Right.
I have some players who their index finger is right there in the middle of the ball. Some is the valve of the ball is in between their index and their middle finger. I just feel like your feet and your hands are really important. As long as you're on balance and you have a good follow through, like you said, getting a hand underneath the ball.
Yep. I think
some of these other things that we spend a lot of time on and kind of work themselves out.
Yeah. I mean, I think they work themselves out. Now, I also definitely have my theories in terms of all that stuff with the angle, our posture is a really big thing with me, all that kind of stuff. But the way I teach, especially if I'm working one-on-one with a player, is I want them – I'm going to drop subtle hints on what I really think is best.
Right.
But I want them to kind of subconsciously start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give my theory, like, hey, you know, if you want ultimate – you know, the optimal trajectory on your shot, this is a way you could do it if, you know – and then they'll start toying around with it. And then you see the light bulb go off. And like, oh, that works. You know what I mean? So right. – yes, each player is different 100%, and I think we all have our own theories. But I definitely have ones that I think really work and ones that I can implement right away and get somebody to start making a little more shots. Now, they're not going to make shots continuously when they leave the gym. I can get them to shoot the perfect shot in front of me, but it's, I mean, as you know, as a trainer or, you know, anybody in skill development, it's not about you shooting that perfect shot right now. It's you being able to shoot that perfect shot again and again. So, you know, that's the fun part of it.
Yeah, because I try to get the players to understand it's a process, you know.
Right.
You know, a lot of kids come in, and I have kids, and I'm sure you have seen the same thing. They don't care how they shoot the ball. They just worried about the outcome a lot of times, especially the younger kids. They elbow is out and the ball is going in, they're going to keep shooting with their elbow out.
Right.
And at the moment we try to make that correction, they're like, well, I was making some shots the other way. I'm not making any shots this way. So why do you want me to change it? And I just try to get them to understand in the long run, this will benefit you more than it is when you're with your elbow out or whatever it is, whatever skill that they could be lacking.
Yeah.
So when it comes to working with a player on an individual level, you got a one-on-one with a kid. How do you like to prepare for those, for these sessions? Like if you have a player that you've seen before and you've worked with them, how do you prepare for their session? Or if you have a parent that email you or contact you and say, hey, my kid needs work on their shooting,
how
do you prepare for a session in that way?
Yeah, so the way I do it, and it goes both ways, it's always best if I can see some type of footage, especially if I've never met the kid or anything like that, so I can kind of see what we're going through to begin with. So the difference would be if I have never seen the kid play, or anything like that, to that, you know, I'm going to start them off just with like almost a regular type workout, because for the first 10, 15 minutes, I just want to see what they naturally do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see what they naturally do. I'm not going to automatically pigeonhole them into something without ever seeing what they already do well. So my whole thing is, let's see, what do you do well? I'll just analyze it right there. Boom. All right, now we're going to make our adjustments. Whereas if I've been working with a player or seen a player, you know, it's going to be catered towards, how am I going to make that player successful in games? Let's work on shots and actions that we know for a fact that you're going to see in your game. So I'm not going to take a kid, you know, that's, you know, getting majority of pick and pop 15 footers and have them, you know, shooting nothing but corner three. You know what I mean? I'm trying to translate things as much as possible in order to make them successful when it's time for them to actually step on the court and it counts.
When you're working with a player, and let's say they have some type of flaw, whether it's follow through or they're off balance, or let's say it's a number of different things. Let's say you got a kid that's fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade, and they're really learning how to shoot for the first time.
Yeah.
Do you try to stick with one or two skills or something within their mechanics, Or do you try to say, okay, this is everything that's going on, we're going to try to work on this all at one time? Or do you just try to say, okay, well, I'm not worried about everything else. Let's first get your follow through. Or first, let's work on your feet. Or first, let's work on your grip. How do you handle a situation like that?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And so the way I like to do it is kind of like how I define skill development in terms of starting with something very basic and then layering it. So, if you know, for instance, I just had a player that I worked with, getting them to understand that we wanted one fluid motion. I didn't want them stopping at the top. They were bringing the ball and then stopping a hitch and then shooting. Mm-hmm. So our whole focus was just smoothing that out. And a big way that I do that, and you touched on it just a little bit ago, because you said that kids are so concerned with the outcome of making shots. If they're like, well, I'm already making shots. But on the flip side of that, if kids aren't making shots, that also impacts them mentally. So what I like to do, especially when we're isolating a habit like that, I go one at a time and then I pull them away from the hoop. So we go away from the hoop in general. One of the terms that I stole from a clinic that I was at recently, which was amazing to me, they call it NATO, which is not attached to outcomes. And so we just go away from the hoop. And I just have them observe everything that's going on. We'll do a shoot the line drill where they're just shooting on the line, seeing where that ball lands. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened here? Why do you think that happened? And this way, we're taking them completely away from the makes and misses aspects of it. And they're just focused on that one habit that we're trying to change. And I found that when you do that with a player, if they're in sixth grade, or if you do that with a player in high school or in college, it lasts. The impact lasts because they take their focus away from makes and misses, and they actually put their focus on the act of what they're doing.
Yeah, that's something I found valuable too. Because when you're shooting at the basket, and we could tell a kid, don't worry about making a shot.
Yeah.
In the back of their mind, they're looking at whether their ball goes in.
Exactly.
And, you know, if it ain't going in, then they're going to get frustrated. And then we have to deal with that on top of them not shooting the ball the correct way. So, yeah, just like that drill you were talking about, getting on the line, and I do it too, you know. And even when I'm shooting, because I'm real competitive, if we do it 10 times, I'm counting how many times I'm making that ball land on the line. Oh.
You have to. That's a part of improvement. I mean, you can't if you're not measuring what you're doing, you're never going to know you're improving. So that's one of – you know, you might just be doing it because you're competitive, but like in all actuality, that's measurable results. You know what I mean? And that's how you know you're getting better at it.
Yep. So, you know, and that's, I love that drill. And also there was a drill I stole from my high school coach. He did something similar to that, but instead of on the line, he was lined up against the side of the backboard.
Yep.
He would shoot with just one hand, and I saw him doing that one day, and he was just coming right back to his hand, and he'd catch it and shoot it back, kept going. And I've had a few players do that. And then I could really show them about their control with their grip and everything.
Right.
The basketball is like hitting the rim or going behind the goal and stuff like this. So now let's talk about if you have a group.
Yep. If
you got 2, 3, 4 players. What does those sessions look like? Are you more into the actions of, you know, coming off pin downs and playing out penetration, or is it more of still a lot of technique type stuff?
Well, there's always going to be the technique portion of it, just because I feel like that's something that no matter who you are, if you're a player just starting or you're a player on the highest level, there's a certain portion of getting your mind and your body ready to shoot the ball the correct way. So, I mean, one of my favorite examples is Kyle Korver. If you watch him before he takes a shot at the basket, he's doing the shoot the line drill. He's tuning up, per se, like to get his mind and his body ready before he jumps into any of that. So that's all going to be the same. That stuff, no matter if it's a group or an individual, we're all here to make shots. And the way we start to make shots is we get ourselves in some type of routine. Even if it's only 10 minutes, at least that 10 minutes every day is going to add up over time, where you're paying real attention to what you're doing. Then the way it differs is in a group, it's going to be a lot more, you know, program driven in terms of my workout's going to be much more mapped out ahead of time with a group. Whereas for an individual, I'll do a lot more things on the fly because I'll notice different things here and there, and I can give them all of my attention. But with a group, I can't I can't give tons of time to one person when I'm, you know, it's a little bit different, but that's probably the only difference.
Okay. So I know you probably see a lot of parents that may be working with their kids and can't figure something out. Sometimes I have kids come to me. I don't see them, you know, very often, but the parents will try to get their shot going. Their kid may be in a slump and they'll contact me. But what type of tips would you give coaches or trainers or even parents when it comes to working with kids on shooting? Like, is there certain things that they need to make sure that they're looking for? Or is there certain techniques that they have to make sure that their kid is doing? Or, you know, is there a certain drill that you say every kid needs to do this? What type of tips would you give them on when you're talking about working with someone on shooting?
Yeah, that's tough just because every person is so, every problem is so individualized. So it's tough to just throw like a blanket statement out on, hey, this is what everybody has to do. But I really think everything comes down to me. And like I said, I already said it once, but is that ball going up in the air? Are we getting the trajectory on the ball that we need to get on the ball? Because if we can do that, if we can accomplish that, you're already going to make a lot more shots. When you get that ball up in the air, you're increasing the surface area of the hoop, essentially, right? So that ball's coming up on a perfect trajectory. Now two balls can fit through the hoop. We've all seen those pictures, right? The two balls that are fitting the hoop. Well, the only way that happens if the balls are dropped straight down, right? That doesn't happen if the balls are coming in at an angle. They have to drop straight down in order to fit. So getting that through to a parent and to a player to understand, hey, the higher this ball goes, the better trajectory we get on this shot, the bigger our surface area now becomes and the more chance we have of making shots. So if we can do that, I mean, hey, that's really half the battle.
And I guess that would be the same thing for us if a player, if you were going to give a player a tip, make sure their hands underneath the ball, trajectory on the shot. Do you think that – I know we see players like Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick, these guys that can just really just knock down shots. But with me, what I see, it seems like a lot of players are more trying to play an athletic game, I guess to some degree. But do you think that players are spending enough time just going to the park and shooting or in the driveway shooting?
No. No, man. No. I mean, I think it's one of those things. It's like, you know, there's a quote by this guy's name, Jamie Will. It says, everybody wants that perfect body, but no one wants to do their push-ups on Monday morning, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's like, man, I want this. I want this. I want to look like this. I want to be strong. And then Monday morning comes, and everybody's hitting that snooze button. No one wants to do their push-ups. It's the same with jump shots. Everybody wants to be a shooter. Hey, I want to make shots. I want to make shots. Hey, man, I'm biased, but I think that shooting a jump shot takes and perfecting it takes a heck of a lot more commitment and time than a lot of this ball handling and all that kind of stuff does. Yeah. You got to understand, man. You watch an NBA game. Watch when they come on TV. And if you're not one of those players that's names on the marquee, if you're not LeBron, if you're not Kyrie, if you're not those guys, look, you're maybe going to have two dribbles maximum to get to do work with. Yeah. And a perfect example of that, and I tell kids, look at Danny Green. Danny Green's been in the league for how many years? And he's coveted. Teams are like, we need Danny Green. Danny Green doesn't do anything that's going to sell sneakers or, you know what I mean? But Danny Green's making $11 to $15 million a year because Danny Green can hit wide open threes, he can defend, and he can put the ball on the floor two times. Yeah. But players don't want to just dedicate that time. You know what I mean? It's a lot. It really is a lot to become a great shooter. But it's one of those things that so few of people do it that when you find people that do, their value is just beyond belief.
Yeah, two things come to mind when you said that. I was on YouTube a couple years back and I saw a highlight of MJ, Michael Jordan. And he had 40-some points, 50-some points. I can't remember who he was playing against. But I watched every basket that he made. And every time he attacked, he took no more than two dribbles. It was just two dribbles, pull up, two dribble, you know, spin move or hard dribble left, between the legs, pull up. And it was just like, okay, you know, but kids, when they see MJ, they think of the dunks and the acrobatic finishes and stuff like that. And even with Klay Thompson has probably arguably one of the best shooters in the league. And, you know, it's just like everybody likes Klay, but it's not something they really want to talk about until he does something like score 60 points and he only dribbles three times in the whole game. You know,
I talk about Klay. I'll talk about Klay till I'm blue in the face, because that guy, to me, he's the epitome of, I mean, he's not, he's another one of those guys that's not crazy athletic. You know what I mean? He just gets it, man. He just knows that you understand how to play this game. You can score a lot of points. It's a simple game. I think sometimes we complicate it. I'm not against all the guys that do the crazy skill development stuff. Like, I think that's great stuff. You're putting, you know, you're taking somebody and putting them outside their comfort zone. I think that sometimes you just have to come to the realization that you're going to be able to have to shoot a pull-up jump shot. Yeah. And, you know, and coaches love players that can shoot a pull-up. Coaches love players that can stretch a defense. There's a lot of guys out there that can put the ball on the floor 10 times. There's not a lot of guys who can hit a three and take a one dribble pull up and hit that on a consistent basis.
Yeah. It's just, I tell players, sometimes you got to do the boring drills to make your game exciting.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
You know, a lot of times they want to dribble two basketballs and tennis balls. And like you said, all that stuff is cool. But at the end of the day, you know, can you be efficient with your dribble? Can you get to your spots? You know, and can you shoot at a, from a high percentage. Well, Coach, I got two bonus questions for you, and then we'll wrap this thing
up.
That's
good, man.
Who are the top five shooters that you have ever seen or coached? This could be on any level. It could be pro. It could be a high school kid that we don't know anything about. Who would you say are five shooters that you say, you know, these guys can really – or ladies can really shoot the basketball?
So I can mix in people I've never worked with, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this could be anybody. These could be all NBA guys if you want them to be. Or
awesome. So first and foremost, has to be number one on everybody's list is Steph Curry, because he's the greatest. To me, he's the greatest shooter that ever shot the ball. If I was a kid growing up today, that's who I would emulate on every single level possible. The second guy is Ray Allen. And that's who I did emulate. I wasn't nearly as athletic as Ray, but his work ethic combined with the way he conducted himself, his just passion for being able to shoot the ball is unrivaled. That's my second. I'm going to actually put Klay at three, just because I literally watch highlights of him nonstop. I think everything that he does in terms of his footwork, how limited movement there is in his shot is incredible. Number four is a guy I worked with. His name's Max Hooper, and Max played for Oakland University in Michigan, I believe it was. And Max's senior year of college, Max did not attempt one 2-point shot. All Max did was shoot threes for the entire year.
Wow.
he played on that Oakland team with Kay Felder. So Kay was just setting him up for threes. I have worked with Max on mornings when I was in Nashville and I was just starting out, and at that time, Max was bouncing around to different G League teams, trying to hook on with an NBA team. So all we would do is shoot NBA threes. It's the same idea what we talked about earlier on how you would conduct a workout with a player. Well, all his calling was going to be shooting. That's it. His only chance at making the league was shooting. We would have workouts that I put together about 300 NBA threes, and there were days he'd walk out of there making about 290 of them. And this is no just like spot up catch and shoot. This is all coming off movement type shots.
Wow.
Best shooter I've ever seen in my life. I'd put him up against anybody in the world at this point. He knows that. He's actually working as a player development coach with the Lakers right now. So really, 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 really excited for him. But yeah, man, he's incredible. So that's four. And then number five, who really should be up somewhere different to me. Just a guy in mind was Reggie Miller. Reggie didn't have the greatest form in the world, or quote unquote what we constitute as good form. But I don't know if anybody was mentally as prepared and focused as him to just make shots every single night. That guy, man, I I would love to meet him. I would love to talk to him and sit down with him, because I just feel like his mindset was on a whole different level, man. And I admire that about him greatly.
Okay. So my second bonus question is, you're coaching. All five of those players is on the floor.
Yeah.
You got to draw up a play. You need one bucket. Who's going to shoot that last shot?
Man. It's a big – here's the thing, man. Every single one of those guys is, like, alpha males. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're all alpha. Yeah. I would give the nod – I'm going to give the nod to Ray, just because Ray has done it, hit a ginormous shot on the biggest stage you could ever think of when he hit that backpedaling, no look – no, didn't ever look down at his feet, knew where he was, corner three, which is just insane to me. So I'll go Ray.
Go right, man. That's a good list. I love Ray Allen. Like, he's my favorite when it comes to shooting. Like, Ray Allen is Jesus Shuttlesworth. That's my man there. You can't really get much better than that. And a lot of kids now, they know Ray from when he played in Boston and when he played in Miami. Right. But they don't realize when he was in Milwaukee, you know, he would shoot you out, or he'd take to the bucket and dunk on you too. So
Seattle as well, man. Seattle. Yeah. There was a moment in Seattle. He had that 1 year in Seattle, man, where I swear, it's like any time they set that high pick and roll, he was coming off that pick and roll, and it was either a three or he was going to come off with a two dribble pull up, and it was like he's going to get 25 to 30. It's just going to be what it is, and it was incredible to watch.
Yeah, Ray Allen. Ray Allen was my man. When it comes to shooting, that was the guy. And I love also watching Reggie Miller. You know, Reggie would come off those screens, man, and just – I mean, it was just – there was nothing you can do. I mean, plus he's, 6'8", I believe, something like that. So, then there's a
there's a really good story about Reggie. My coach told me, I guess, Reggie shot like 0 for one night. Like, didn't make a shot. Came to practice the next day, and – the one coach was like, "Hey, Rez, like, you didn't shoot well last night, so we're going to help you get some more shots today in games." And to show you where Reggie's mindset was, I guess Reggie looked at him and he was like, "I shot the ball fine last night. It just didn't go in." Mm. He was like, "Oh, I shot it fine. Bad. They just didn't go in." So, like, his mind was all, like, you know how people will focus on misses? We talk about outcomes.
Yeah.
He wasn't focused on the outcome. He was like, "No, I shot it fine. It just didn't go in." So it's just staying in that mind state of, "I'm gonna make shots. That's just the way it is. I'm shooting the ball fine. It just didn't drop." It's a cool little story to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's next level type of mental, to have a mental capacity to have that. That's huge, and that's why he's who he is. You know, to be able to
have that kind of mindset. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, man, that is all that I have. I appreciate it, man. I enjoy talking to you and picking your brain a little bit.
And, sure.
Being able to hear your ideas on shooting. So why don't you let everybody know how they can connect with you, where they can follow you, where they can find you at. And then if you got any other advice you would like to leave us, you can go ahead and share that too.
Yeah, man, you can find me. My main thing is on Instagram at cmikedunn, SEEMIKEDUNN. That's where I put a lot of my stuff. So just tons of free stuff. I never start out on this journey to make money off of it. So I don't make money on Instagram. I just do it just to post. I post drills for kids, for parents all over the world. And it's been really cool to connect. Also have a YouTube page. Same thing, cmikedunn. So anything you want to get in contact with me with, that's where you can find me. I'm very responsive to answering questions, and my whole goal at the end of the day is to get out in front of as many people as possible. So shooting clinics now starting to pop up all over the country, all over the world, which has been a lot of fun. So I believe this is just the beginning for me, and I hope to see as many people as I can along the way.
Well, man, again, I appreciate it, and he do respond to messages on Instagram. That's how I didn't know if he was gonna respond or not. I just said, "Well, I'm just gonna shoot him one and see what happens." So
absolutely, I'm glad you
reached back out and we was able to connect.
Hey, man, before you sign off on it, man, I just want to say big big ups to you, man. I was searching around on your page, saw that you self-published the book, which I think is incredible, man. I don't think a lot of people understand how difficult that is to do. And I think that's a really cool thing, man. That's a really, really cool thing. And not just basketball wise, but however that ended up expanding your mind and everything that goes into that, that's a process in itself. So much respect to you for that.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that, because there was a lot of tugging and pushing and pulling on that, because I had started it and stopped and started it back. And then I went through that phase where I was like, ain't nobody going to want to read a book that I wrote. And so then I shelved it, and then I said, nope, I'm going to go ahead and write it. And then I had an issue with trying to find editors and all this stuff. And so then it just got to a point where I was just like, all right, let's just put it out there and see what happens. So it was rewarding, man, once I wrote it and sent it out and got it out there.
So that was my interview with Mike Dunn. I told you he gave us some great information, some great insight on shooting and development, and just his thoughts on skill development and just his thoughts on shooting. So big shout out to Coach Mike Dunn. Y'all be sure to follow him on social media. He has some great information, some great videos that he share on Instagram. So he did mention my book. My book is available, The Skill Development Playbook. Be sure to go and check that out. It is available on my website. You can go to my website, tjonesfirm.com, and you will see up at the top where it says my book is available. You can click on that link. It gives you all the information, the testimonials and the price of the book and how you can order it. It can be purchased directly through my site. You can get the paperback copy for $9.99, or you can get the PDF version for $3.99. And it's also available on Amazon. If you go to Amazon, you type in the Skill Development Playbook in the search bar, and the information will come up for that. So be sure to follow me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is at NBNBball. That's at NBNBball. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can search for me, TJ Jones. My website is T Jones Firm, TJONESFIRM.com. It has all the information about my services and what I do. So be sure to check that out. If you need to contact me through email, then you can send an email to info@tjonesfirm.com. I appreciate everybody that's been listening, but I need y'all to do something for me. I need you to subscribe, because I'm going to be having some really great interviews coming up, and I don't want y'all to miss out. So since I don't want y'all to miss out, I need you to subscribe. So go to your favorite podcast platform, especially if it's Apple. If you listen to the Apple podcast, be sure to subscribe and also give me a 5-star rating. I need a 5-star rating. The more ratings I have, especially if they're good ratings, then more people will hear about the show. More people will want to listen in, and more people will subscribe. So I need y'all to do that for me. That is it. I appreciate y'all, and I will see y'all next week. Until then, God bless.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.